This is an IELTS Energy Podcast, episode 178. Can I speak for more than 2 minutes in the IELTS Speaking Part 2?
You are listening to the IELTS Energy Podcast from All Ears English. We believe in connection, not perfection, and we're here to show you how to get the score that you need on your next IELTS exam. Get started with our 7 easy steps to a 7 or higher at allearsenglish.com/SEVEN. Now, let's get to the show.
Hey guys, I want to take just a minute to say thank you to our reviewers from the iTunes store. Thank you so much to Alexandra Moskin from Brazil, from Ran2222 from Russia, Thaddeus Dia from Brazil, Happy CYB from Hong Kong. Thank you to Mirky210 from Vietnam, Alusnidi Slola from Italy, and Gelso Miao from Philippines. Guys, if you haven't left a review yet for IELTS Energy in the iTunes store, please go over there and leave a review. Tell us what you think about this show. Thanks, guys. Hey there, Jessica. What's going on
on
the West Coast?
Lindsay. Oh, rain, and more rain. It's seriously been raining every day for a month at least.
Oh my gosh, that's depressing. I would die. That's terrible.
I mean, it's not like nonstop. It's not like 24 hours of rain, but it's pretty much 24 hours of gray. I've only been here for 5 years, but in the 5 year period, this is the first time that it's been like this significant of like a rain stretch. So that's not bad.
That's tough. I mean, I don't know. The rain can affect people's moods. I mean, I guess you totally. It, right? But a lot of people, you're just a strange bird.
I am. That's okay.
A lot of people get really down when it comes to cloudy days and, you know, rainy days. And it's good that you can handle it, I think. You know?
It has the exact opposite effect on me. It lifts my spirits. Sun stresses me out. Like, I'm just like, oh God, it's like pressure. But rainy days is like, it's like I can breathe. I don't know. I'm weird. I know.
That's okay. We're all a little weird in our own way.
I guess I ended up in the right place. That's the best part.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Very cool. So, and, you know, our listeners, as we've said before, who are studying up so that they can go to Canada or Australia, I would personally choose Australia because the weather there is great. But hey, I mean.
Oh, yeah. And the beaches and. Yeah, geez, if you go to Canada, you have to be very selective about which town you're gonna be in, unless you want to be like stuck in the frozen tundra for 10 months of the year.
I know. It's crazy. Wow, I don't think I could live. But Montreal, I mean, that could be nice, right?
I really want to go to Montreal. Hey, listeners, if any of you are in Montreal, send us a message and maybe we'll come visit you because I really want to go.
Yeah. Totally. Very cool. So let's get our listeners to Montreal. Let's get them to Australia. Let's answer this key question today to get our listeners to their dreams. Jessica, what are we talking about today?
Yeah. So this question is about speaking part two. It comes up a lot. It's a really good question. Because it's not about like scoring and stuff. It's about what actually happens on the test. What are the mechanics of the test? And this is something that a lot of teachers don't tell their students, right? They just talk about, oh, here's some vocabulary. Here's some sample questions, but they don't actually tell you what happens on the test. What does the examiner do? Because most teachers don't know, I guess. Yeah. So, this question says, it's about speaking part two. If I say more than 2 minutes in speaking part two, will my score go down? Will the examiner interrupt me when the 2 minutes is up? So
she means if I speak more than 2 minutes, right? Not if I say, okay, good. Okay.
So. I was just I should have corrected that.
No, that's okay. I just want to make sure our listeners know.
Yeah, that is an incorrect way to say that. So the instructions for speaking part two, what the examiner says is, now in this part, I will give you a topic and you will have 1 minute to think about your answer and you have to speak for 1 to 2 minutes. So That those instructions are a lie because if you only speak for a minute, your score, your fluency score plummets. It hits the ground. So you do need to practice this. You do need to keep talking for the whole 2 minutes. What the examiner does, the examiner is listening to you very intently, very carefully the whole time. They're not allowed to comment. Some examiners do make little noises like, but, and others are just completely silent, but they're, the point is they're not going to say anything to you. Okay. Yeah. It's you, it's on you to fill that whole 2 minutes.
Yeah.
So that's why one of our key strategies is to tell a story in part two. You can look at some of our other podcasts about this. Blogs about this, YouTube videos about this, how to tell a story in speaking part two. And so at the end of the 2 minutes, so the examiner's listening super carefully and keeping her eye on the clock the whole time. So as soon as that 2 minutes is reached, the examiner will like put up her hands and say, okay, thank you, thank you. And then usually ask a follow-up question.
Okay. Guys, the IELTS speaking test does not have to be as hard as you think. If you have the right tips, tricks, and resources, we can show you how to do it. You can get started with the 3 ways to increase your IELTS speaking score immediately. Go to allearsenglish.com/insider and get video 1 for free today. allearsenglish.com/INSIDER. We'll see you over there. Yeah. One thing I want to note is that it's really important to practice this, right? Because we did an episode back, I think around September, where we were actually practicing speaking part two questions and I could not fill the time. Like we did a sample answer, remember? And I stopped speaking after like a minute something. And you said, that's not 2 minutes. And I said, whoa, it felt like five. Right. And then you said, you know, 2 minutes feels like a long time. So we need to know what 2 minutes feels like. And this comes back to practicing, but practicing with our strategies.
Exactly. Yeah. No, 2 minutes really does feel like a long time, especially in, cause you know how like time changes. Sometimes it feels really slow. Sometimes it goes really fast. Right. I think on the exam, because you're nervous, it'll go slowly. Like that 2 minutes can just be excruciating if you're not used to it, if you haven't practiced it. So first thing, guys, write this down. What you do need to do is practice the specific functions of speaking part two, and most of them are about describing. So make this list. Describe a person, describe a place, describe an event or experience, or describe an object. Pretty much all, no, I'd say all speaking part two questions are going to be one of those things. And then from there, it's on to you to practice. I mean, describe a person could be anyone. Could be a celebrity, a best friend, a family member, someone you saw on the news. And just brainstorm the different people and then practice describing them for 2 minutes each.
Right. And also, of course, knowing what the examiner actually wants on that speaking part two, right? Understanding the scoring system and then inserting, we've talked about vocabulary words, we talked about fluency and coherence, all of those things, right, are also really important. So using those strategies, then going in and practicing with that timing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's important to work backwards like we do in our course. Start with what the examiner wants and then you figure out how to give that to them, right? And then you figure out how to like fulfill those expectations. So you do it. It's not just as easy as practicing your fluency and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Like, maybe you do fill the 2 minutes without stopping and without sounding like nervous, but are you fulfilling the vocabulary expectations? Are you using enough linking words? Are you, like, there's a lot of things to think about here. Yeah. So yeah, you do need to start with the strategies and then you could make that list and practice.
Right, right. Because that might be a mistake that a native speaker would make. They say, oh, I don't even need to work on the speaking part because I speak fluently, and they might go in and maybe only get a 7 or who knows, maybe a 6.5 if they didn't use the linking words, because we've said before that those linking words are not natural for us.
That's a really good point, actually. What I've, in my experience, when native speakers are doing the part two, and of course they haven't prepared because, like you said, they're like, nah, I'm fine. I speak English. So like what they end up doing, and this hurts the coherence score, the fluency and coherence is that first score, right? So maybe their fluency is good because they keep talking, but the coherence aspect is not good because they're not organizing their answer in a way the examiner wants. Wow. The biggest mistake that I see students and native speakers making in their practice for speaking part two is focusing on those bullet points. And again, this is more bad advice that I hear teachers give students all the time. Guys, on every part two card looks the same, right? You have the topic and then you have 3 bullet points underneath it.
Yeah.
And then one more question that's like, explain how this makes you feel, something about feelings often. And what I tell students is to not even look at those bullet points, because what happens is when they start speaking, they just are like staring at the card, and then they answer one question and then they stop talking and look back down at the card, read the bullet point out loud, look up, talk about that, look down, read the next bullet point. Like, think about how like disconnected that is. Of course that's going to hurt their score.
Right. And there are no linking words between the ideas. Yeah, there's no story intertwined. There's no narrative. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So that's a huge mistake, guys, is to, listen to a teacher who tells you to focus on the bullet points. I think we had someone write in that said a teacher told them that they had to include all the bullet points or their score would go down. I was like, what?
Well, we've heard a lot of crazy things from things that teachers have told our listeners.
Ugh. Drives me crazy. Guys, examiners don't even look at the bullet points, okay? They don't even know they exist. Like, and
that's why it's so important to be in a course where someone can tell you this, or have a mentor, have someone to guide you, a professional who can show you these things. Otherwise, it's a minefield full of traps.
And you know who that professional is? Her name is Jessica.
That's right. You got it. Exactly. There's no other. I love it.
I'm glad we're talking about this today, though, because, guys, this is going to link to a blog I'm actually also going to write today that will be up by the time you hear this podcast. And it's all about speaking part two. So it will have a little bit of recap of what we talked about today, but also it'll guide you to all the other advice that you need to give the examiner what they want in speaking part two. So look out for that.
Yeah, guys. Awesome. Awesome. So guys, come back to IELTS.allearsenglish.com and check out, type in speaking part two in the search bar, and also check out our course. If you go to our homepage and click on IELTS course, you can actually get right into the course right away. If you want to just cut your study time short, get straight to the what matters and get closer to your target score faster, just go ahead and jump in our course. It just makes the most sense if you're a smart student who doesn't have time to mess around when it comes to this exam.
Exactly. If you want to start improving your scores now, right, in very real, valid ways, then you have to get into a course that works. You've obviously found our podcast. You know our podcast works. And if you have found us, I'm sure that you have Googled IELTS resources and wasted like hours reading through random student blogs and stories of tests and lists, forums, whatever. we already said today, guys, that we've come across a lot of bad advice that teachers have given students. And this is double, triple, quadruple for advice you see on random sites on the internet. You don't know who these people are. And, you know, half the time they're like students, whatever, sharing their stories. I don't know. Like, don't trust that.
Right. And it's also really important that, as we've said in a previous episode, if you go off and you waste all your time, you waste 6 months, you waste a year just trying to learn from these forums, from these free mm-hmm. resources that you can't trust the source, you might learn the wrong things. Then by the time exactly. you come to us and get into our course, because you'll realize it's really your best route to your target score, we'll have to undo those yeah. bad habits. So guys, if you want to just get yourself to your goal, if you want to succeed with your dream in your life, just cut it short and come straight to us.
Try our course, guys. I mean, in our closed Facebook group, we just had a student this morning post from, he's in Paris.
And he's from France, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he got overall, he got the scores he needed to enter the university he's going to in England.
Yeah, he got a 7 in speaking, which is awesome.
Awesome. Yeah, super exciting. So, I mean, yeah, these success stories pop up constantly. So yeah. I'm just so happy that we're helping students with our podcast, but also, of course, in our course. So yeah, check it out, guys.
I love it. Good advice, Jessica. All right, let's call it a day, and I will see you next time.
All right, sounds good. Bye, Lindsay.
All right, bye-bye. Thanks so much for listening to the IELTS Energy Podcast from All Ears English. And if you want to get tips from Lindsay and Jessica every week on how to get a 7 on your next IELTS exam, be sure to subscribe to our podcast on your computer or on your smartphone. Thanks again and see you soon.